This is household paragraphs 34 through 37. Household number 34 of 39. This is from Messages to the Mother Church, 1899. Watch and pray daily that evil suggestions, in whatever guise, take no root in your thought nor bear fruit. Oftentimes examine yourselves and see if there be found anywhere a deterrent of truth and love, and hold fast that which is good. The definition of fast was covered in another previous paragraph, using the Noah Webster Dictionary as a standard. So just the word fast by itself means like tenaciously holding on to something. Fast means something that is fixed without any variation, like truth. Truth doesn't change. And previously we mentioned that Mary Baker Eddy had stated that the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. And so she's talking about goodness here. She says, hold fast that which is good. So if we do that, then we will be able to reflect the power of God. At the beginning, she says, watch and pray daily that evil suggestions in whatever guise take no root in your thought nor bear fruit. So she's suggesting that it can come in many different ways. And we know that error is very deceptive. Even though it has no power on its own, it appears in very deceptive ways. The decoy feature of error is something to be very alert about. What may appear as an error in one form might really be a decoy in something else, which is bigger, that we're not paying attention to. For example, if one is working on a project and then there is a claim, say one is traveling in a vehicle and the car breaks down, it might very well be that that is a decoy for trying to keep the project from being completed. That's the end of this paragraph 34. Which is from Miscellany, and it's from the Communion of June 1899. The next one is also from Miscellany. This is household number 35, and this is under Admonition and Counsel, Christian Science Healing. Injustice denotes the absence of law. Each day I pray for the pacification of all national difficulties, for the brotherhood of man, for the end of idolatry and infidelity, and for the growth and establishment of Christian religion, Christ's Christianity. I also have faith that my prayer availeth, and that he who is overturning will overturn until he whose right it is shall reign. Each day I pray, God, bless my enemies, make them thy friends, give them to know the joy and the peace of love. A previous paragraph was about a publication that accused Mary Baker Eddy of being prayerless. And her response to that was that she stated that She prayed three times a day for all humanity. And here she states in another paragraph in Miss Laney that she is praying daily for the pacification of all national difficulties, for the brotherhood of man, for the end of idolatry and infidelity, and for the growth and establishment of Christian religion, Christ Christianity, and that she has faith that her prayer availeth. So she considered all humanity an important part of her spiritual focus on prayer. And in another place, she indicated that she requests all of her students to pray daily for themselves. And she also included the statement that didn't mean getting down on your hands and knees and praying. But it was mental. And here she's saying that she desires God to bless her enemies. She says, God, bless my enemies. Make them thy friends. That's capital T, so that means God's friends. Give them to know the joy and the peace of love. The next paragraph, number 36, is also a miscellany, and it's in Pleasant View. And it's to the First Congregational Church in Concord. Today, my soul can only sing and soar. An increasing sense of God's love, omnipresence, and omnipotence enfolds me. Each day I know Him nearer, love Him more, and humbly pray to serve Him better. Thus, seeking and finding, though feebly, finally may we not together rejoice in the church triumphant. Mary Baker Eddy, in Pulpit and Press, covers this topic of church triumphant, and it is as follows. It's called the Dedicatory Sermon, and this is the first article following the dedication and preface. This is in 1895. She quotes from Psalms 36. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. So she's referring to God three times here. Thy house, thou, and thy. Thou shalt, and thy pleasures, and thy house. A new year is a nursling, a babe of time, a prophecy and promise, clad in white raiment, kissed and encumbered with greetings, redolent with grief and gratitude. An old year is time's adult, and 1893 was a distinguished character, notable for good and evil. Time past and time present both may pain us, but time improved is eloquent in God's praise. For due refreshment, garner the memory of 1894. For if wiser by reason of its large lessons and records deeply engraven, great is the value thereof. Here's a little poem. Pass on, returnless year. The path behind thee is with glory crowned. This spot whereon thou trottest was holy ground. Pass proudly to thy bier. Today, being with you in spirit, what need that I should be present in propria persona? Were I present, methinks I should be much like the Queen of Sheba when she saw the house Solomon had erected. In the expressive language of Holy Writ, quote, there was no more spirit in her. And she said, behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Both without and within, the spirit of beauty dominates. The Mother Church, from its mosaic flooring to the soft shimmer of its starlit dome. Nevertheless, there is a thought higher and deeper than the edifice. Material light and shade are temporal, not eternal. Turning the attention from sublunary views, however enchanting, think for a moment with me of the house wherewith they shall be abundantly satisfied. Even the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. With the mind's eye, glance at the direful scenes of the war between China and Japan. Imagine yourselves in a poorly barricaded fort, fiercely besieged by the enemy. Would you rush forth single-handed to combat the foe? Nay, would you not rather strengthen your citadel by every means in your power and remain within the walls for its defense? Likewise, should we do as metaphysicians and Christian scientists? The real house in which we live and move and have our being is spirit, God, the eternal harmony of infinite soul. The enemy we confront would overthrow this sublime fortress, and it behooves us to defend our heritage. How can we do this Christianly scientific work? By entrenching ourselves in the knowledge that our true temple is no human fabrication, but the superstructure of truth, capital T, reared on the foundation of capital love and pinnacled in capital life. Such being its nature, how can our godly temple possibly be demolished or even disturbed? Can eternity end? Can capital life die? Can capital T, truth, be uncertain? Can capital L, love, be less than boundless? Referring to this temple, our master said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He also said, the kingdom of God is within you. Know then that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, and that nothing can dispossess you of this heritage and trespass on love. If you maintain this position, who or what can cause you to sin or suffer? Our surety is in our confidence that we are indeed dwellers in truth and love, man's eternal mansion. Such a heavenly assurance ends all warfare and bids tumult cease. For the good fight we have waged is over, and divine love gives us the true sense of victory. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. So that's the previous quote that we had reviewed. No longer are we of the church militant, but of the church triumphant. And with Job of old, we exclaim, yet in my flesh shall I see God. The river of his pleasures is a tributary of divine love, whose living waters have their sources in God and flow into everlasting, capital L, life. We drink of this river when all human desires are quenched, satisfied with what is pleasing to the divine, capital M, mind. Perchance, some one of you may say, the evidence of spiritual verity in me is so small that I am afraid. I feel so far from victory over the flesh that to reach out for a present realization of my hope savors of temerity. Because of my own unfitness for such a spiritual animus, my strength is not, and my faith fails. O thou, weak and infirm of purpose, Jesus said, be not afraid. And here's a little poem. What if the little rain should say, so small a drop as I can ne'er refresh a drooping earth, I'll tarry in the sky. Is not a man metaphysically and mathematically number one, a unit, and therefore whole number, governed and protected by his divine principle, God? You have simply to preserve a scientific, positive sense of unity with your divine source, and daily demonstrate this. Then you will find that one is as important a factor as duodecillions in being and doing right, and thus demonstrating deific principle. A dewdrop reflects the sun. Each of Christ's little ones reflects the infinite one, and therefore is the seer's declaration true that one on God's side is a majority. A single drop of water may help to hide the stars or crown the tree with blossoms. Who lives in good lives also in God, lives in all life, through all space. His is an individual kingdom. His diadem, a crown of crowns. His existence is deathless, forever unfolding its eternal principle. Wait patiently on illimitable love, the Lord and giver of life. Both of those caps. Reflect this capital L life, and with it cometh the full power of being. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. I stop there with only a portion of the dedicatory sermon. Following is the next paragraph of household, number 37 of 39. And this is from Pulpit and Press, Dedicatory Sermon, Children on Funding Mother's Room, 1895. You have simply to preserve a scientific, positive sense of unity with your divine source, and daily demonstrate this. Then you will find that one is as important a factor as duodecillions in being and doing right, and thus demonstrating deific principle. A dewdrop reflects the sun. Each of Christ's little ones reflects the infinite one, and therefore is the seer's declaration true that one on God's side is a majority. That is the end of this group, which is from household number 34 through 37 with related readings and citations.